This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive in the two.
You visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Let's go for a little ride.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, straight ahead. Busy show today. We've got a lot of good stuff. Chris Widlick, you remember him from Channel 3, sports director years ago. Chris, we're going to have him on at 4:30 today to talk Indiana and Purdue and some Big Ten. Those two teams over in the state of Indiana are certainly strange. I can't figure them
strange
out.
Strange and trending in different directions.
Right.
Purdue's starting to play a lot better. Hammered Iowa at home, then went to Bloomington in what felt like kind of a must-win, a big situation for Indiana. Bob Knight comes back. Indiana absolutely laid an egg, and now there's a lot of talk about Archie Miller. Interested to hear what Chris has to say about that.
I want to ask you here in a minute after I get done introducing everybody we have on there, is Matt Painter the best coach in the Big Ten? I want to ask you that question. There's a lot of good coaches, and maybe we should rank the coaches, because I know a guy like Tom Izzo, I know he whines, I know he's put the work in now, the foundation now, to where, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's certainly a lot easier when you've done what Izzo has done to be able to attract recruits. And from what I learned this year coaching basketball, when you have talent, you're going to win, and you look like a lot better coach than you are. So I want to ask you that, because it seems like Matt Painter, it doesn't matter what kind of team he has, he always has them playing well.
That's a good point. I should mention, though, they just lost at home to Penn State.
That's true, and Penn State's
and
really
kind of got dominated in that game, but Penn State is on fire.
Ooh. So we'll visit with Chris Widlick. I'm anxious to talk to him about that. I know there's always those rumors out there about Tom Brady starting for the Indianapolis Colts. Am I the only one that heard that? I may be the only one that heard that rumor.
So, Phillip Rivers is also an option.
Yeah, that was another one. Oh, okay. So we can ask him about that, because Jacoby Brissett had a pretty good year for the Colts, but is he really their long-term guy? And he used to be with the Patriots, right? Wasn't he a backup with Brady? So we'll ask Chris about that. We've got some Major League Baseball talk. The Houston Astros held a press conference today, and they would say one thing.
They did some talking.
And then 2 minutes later would say exactly what they didn't just say. Does that make sense? They would.
Contradiction.
Contradiction, yeah, all across the board. So I know Trevor ripped off a couple of sound bites from that, so we'll react to those sound bites. And then at 5:15, Tim Sinclair. Has he ever been on our show?
I don't think so.
I mean, he's been all over. He's on with Stevie quite a bit. He's been on with Jeremy's show quite a bit. And usually it's a situation where those two shows have him and we don't get him, because we're always kind of the last, you know, we're the last worm in the fishing hole, if you will. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Although if you're the worm, you want to be not eaten. So you're fine with being last. But Tim is going to join us today. Illini PA, Pacers PA, NBA All-Star. Public address announcer. Really cool. And Tim is going to join us at 5:15. I'm excited to talk to him. I just ran into him in Mahomet the other day, and we had a nice visit about it. He was really excited to go up there. We've got an Interstate Battery Stever giveaway, and then we've got Trev's ticket at 5:35. We're going to do some future betting, including an HBO show.
You're going
show.
Off the beaten path.
I'm going off the grid, if you will, on some future bets that I've placed. So, well, that's a busy show.
Now, with you betting NHL future, I don't want to give it away.
No.
But I was going to say to Trevor, I wasn't even going to tweet this out to him. I feel somewhat responsible. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, if you're winning, that's a good thing.
Well, right.
Trevor and I kind of pushed you in towards this venture. And
it's true. We did. You both did. I'm not going to lie to you. Luckily,
it's been entertaining, though.
I'm still in the green.
If you would have said back in, when we started the show, August.
Yeah.
If you still had money in that account.
Oh, my gosh. The initial.
He's been extremely transparent about the amount as well.
The initial $100 that also netted me 50.
Yeah.
Is now at 110. So
you're up 10 bucks, really.
I'm up 10 bucks.
From August of 2019.
Right. So you can tell that this is simply just a little hobby on the side that I throw $5 at a Purdue game every once in a while. I do get crazy sometimes and bet 20. Like, for instance, I bet 20 for Maryland to win the national championship, and I would net $600. So I thought, why not them?
That's not terrible.
No? What is it? It's plus 2,000. The funny part about this is I understand nothing about it. The only thing I understand now, 9 months later, or however many months later, is that if a team is a negative one, that means they have to win by two. That's all I know about it. So that's what I do. And it did get as low as $2 for the Super Bowl, but now I'm back up to 110. And now I'm starting to bet parlays, which I think, if I asked you just with a straight face, you would tell me that's the way you're going to get into a lot of trouble by betting parlays.
Yeah, because it's tempting when you think, okay, Illinois is going to win tonight.
Yeah.
I also think Maryland will win tonight. And, hey, I think Kansas is a shoe-in to win tonight. And you put the three together, and you're like, holy cow, look at that payout.
Woo!
And you think that it can't be that hard for those three things to happen.
But it almost always
is. I feel like one out of 10 times a parlay cashes.
I think I've done a parlay probably 10 times, Trevor, and I finally hit one the other
day.
So you're probably,
odds
are...
It's just random luck, I think.
Yeah, I think
really,
so, too.
Like, it's just hard to pinpoint. If I were going to do parlays, in my opinion, I would only do money lines. I wouldn't worry about spreads.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because the money line is just win or lose. Right.
Okay. So it's easier to say Illinois will win, Maryland will win, Kansas will win, than it is to go, okay, I need Illinois to win by two, Kansas to win by more than seven, and Maryland to be within three. You know, that's harder to pinpoint.
Tonight, I've got the Iowa-Indiana game.
Okay.
I'm wondering which side you're on, but is that part of your trust?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got the Iowa-Indiana game and then the Arizona State game tonight, and then I parlayed them.
I see. I think we need a new stinky sniffy button for the Iowa-Indiana game.
Okay.
I'm really conflicted.
That has reached like heaping pile of garbage on the side of the street levels of stinky sniffy.
I can tell you this. Indiana 2-point favorite when I bet it. Iowa 2-point underdog.
Yep.
I won't tell you who I bet.
Neither will I, but I don't understand that.
Okay. All right. So we will talk about Trev's ticket. And then the futures thing, Derek, you got me in trouble on that one.
Because I brought it up.
You brought it up one day, and I'm like, what does that mean? What does a futures mean? And you're like, well, Lon, if you just click on futures, now you can bet on, like, who's going to win the Super Bowl in 10 years, which is a lie. But
they've got some weird stuff.
They do.
Which country will reach Mars first? Yeah. One of them.
I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I did bet an HBO thing. And we'll explain that in Trev's ticket. So you guys, if I end up, in some penitentiary somewhere because I owe people money, then
I think it's I think it is genuinely a good sign that you have not put any more in.
No.
There's nothing wrong with just messing around with the money you got in. The problem is if you're going, I put another 20 in this weekend and I put 20 on this and lost it.
I made the statement that I think we did it in August. And I made the statement at that time that I'm not putting any more than I'm putting this initial 100 in for this first year.
Sure.
And I'm not adding anything else until maybe the anniversary. And if I run out of money, I'll throw another 100.
That
Surely
day was
I can afford $100 a year.
Sure.
Yeah,
that was when we were at Illini Inn with Georgie. And it was day one of the college football season, and you wanted to get in on the action. So
then I started betting Army and Air Force.
Army let us all down in week one. That was bad.
I have gotten better, though, because it used to be I just basically whatever you chose is what I chose. Whatever you and Derek chose.
Well, now we got a pick against Piper thing going.
Oh.
That's the new hashtag is pick against
is
Piper.
It's not going well.
It hasn't been great.
So to delay the inevitable, we're picking futures so that you do pick
against
Piper.
Yeah, so I'm not wrong right away, at least.
Right. Yeah. People forget if you were wrong by the time it happens.
That's awesome. And the only thing I don't like about the futures thing is that I have about $60 tied up in that.
Right.
So,
but that could be fun if suddenly you wake up one morning in April and you've got $200 in there.
Exactly. But right now it shows like 110. In actuality, I've got like 170.
Right.
But I've got those laid on bets.
Imagine if somebody laid 1,000 on who gets to Mars first.
Oh, my.
I mean, they're going to be sitting there like, they're going to forget that 1,000 was ever even spent.
I may be gone from this earth by the time we live in Mars, you know. Or what? Is it just getting there?
America, Russia, other, with America being the favorite, to who will have put a person on Mars first.
Well, like, what's the other? What's another country that it would even venture to?
Scandinavia.
Yeah, something like that.
Just out of nowhere.
From out of nowhere. Scandinavia plus 3,000 lands on Mars first.
That'd be awesome. All right, let's talk Big Ten basketball. I asked you, Matt Painter, maybe not the best coach in the Big Ten, but certainly in the talk, I think, in the chatter, because what Matt has been able to do at Purdue, of course, he laid, you know, he came in on a solid, you know, you had Gene Cady forever. And, you know, Matt Painter kind of takes over, and he's done a great job with keeping that program relevant for sure in the Big Ten, winning a few Big Ten titles. He's had a few years where they've been really dominant. He's had a couple of down years, but they're always great at home. And we've seen that again this year, even though, you're right, Penn State kind of stopped that shield the other day. But they're always so hard to beat in West Lafayette. And it's just amazing what he's done. So certainly upper echelon of the Big Ten. Where would you rank him, you think, Derek, if you had to, in terms of Big Ten coaches?
If he's behind somebody, it's Izzo, and is that it?
That's probably
it. I think so.
It has to be, because he's actually reached a level of consistency that Izzo hasn't had of late. I know Izzo got to a Final Four, but Izzo with Miles Bridges, and when Cassius was in there, Jaren Jackson Jr., they didn't get to the Sweet 16.
That's right.
And now we'll see what Purdue ends up doing this year, but they went to an Elite Eight last year and then two Sweet 16s before that. So they've been in the Sweet 16 three straight years, which I don't think anybody else in the Big Ten can say. And he's doing it without being the team that is first or second in the league in recruiting rankings every year.
Right. I think that's the impressive thing for me, Trevor. I mean, you know, he had that run where he had – who was the Robbie Hummel?
Juwan Johnson.
Etwan Moore, man. He was so good. I mean, he had that crew that he ran with, and then he brings in.
But it's not like, you know, like A.J. Hammonds was really good, but it's not like the A.J. picked Purdue over Duke and Kentucky or something, right? I mean,
they got Swanigan, which was maybe their one McDonald's All-American that he's had.
Carson Edwards wasn't.
I don't know. I mean, he
was like the eighth best player in Texas.
Yeah. Could we say that maybe Matt Painter is the best in the Big Ten at identifying what the style he wants to play and recruiting to that style?
For sure.
Other than Wisconsin. But yeah, although that's a little shakier now.
Yeah. With Greg.
If I think of two teams in the Big Ten that, you know, like Bronson Koenig, Carson Edwards, guys like that, where you're like, where the hell did this guy even come from? And now he's just dropping 40 on you and killing you.
Even though Koenig, I think, was a 5-star, right?
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, bad example.
But no.
Ethan Happ was like a 2-star, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like a 2-star.
Yeah.
Because you had the stud on Wisconsin was Decker.
Sam Decker was a 5-star.
Decker was a 5, and I'm pretty sure Bronson Koenig was a 5-star.
He might have been up there.
That was the year that they reached, what, the Final Four?
Championship, didn't they?
Yeah, championship game.
So
Nigel Hayes.
Probably a bad example. Right. But yeah.
But no, but I get your point. Because, I mean, he takes a guy like that, and it's like, what?
I think Painter and Izzo are in Tier 1 by themselves, and then I think it's a huge mess.
That's a good.
Honestly.
Yeah, how would
below
you?
Below that, you got
my boy Holtman.
Holtman, Underwood, McCaffrey, Turgeon, Pat Chambers. I mean, Greg Gard, Steve Peichel's been really good. Archie Miller. I don't know how you
It's so funny.
Guys.
Like, I don't want to put Chambers that high, because when you look at it, really, like if they make the tournament this year, when was the last time they made the tournament?
Who's that, Chambers?
Yeah.
He's been there now 9 years and hasn't made it once.
Okay.
So they made it the year before, I think, he got there.
Yeah.
Okay. But if he makes it this year, so that's the first time.
Essentially, he's almost been there a decade, and this will be the first time they've made the tournament.
But is there anybody in the Big Ten that has a harder recruiting, maybe except for Northwestern? I mean,
Nebraska.
Rutgers has been in that conversation until. They've done decently recently.
Nobody, I know they do now, this year, nobody goes to Penn State basketball games. I mean, I can remember years where the Crispin brothers, when they made it, or there were times when they had Taylor Battle or one of those really good point guards that always killed Illinois, and it was a big Saturday afternoon game, let's say, against Illinois, and I'm not going to lie, I don't watch a lot of Penn State basketball, but if they were playing the Illini, or if I had a fantasy guy on Penn State, but you tune into a Saturday afternoon where Penn State is huddling around the 500 mark in the Big Ten. If they win this, they're on the right side of the bubble, and you'd look and it seems like there'd be 2,000 people in there.
They usually get a good student turnout, but outside of that, you look in the stands and there's not much. They would have those like ESPN2 games against Michigan State when Michigan State goes there and they're fifth in the country, and they would win some of those occasionally.
Well, and the weird part about it, though, is like, the football stadium literally sells out like 110,000.
And you can't get
like 5,000 in the back. Like, that really speaks to how little interest there is, right?
It's a strange. Is that the strangest football to basketball in the Big Ten?
It's It's one of the most drastic.
That's what I mean.
Like, I would have said Nebraska before they got Pinnacle Bank, and now a lot of people are at those games.
I think they I don't know if they sell it out, but they get a lot of people in Pinnacle.
And Rutgers doesn't have that many more in football.
No.
Before Brom, Purdue football to basketball was...
Basketball sellout, Purdue football,
that's
nobody
true.
Cared.
Yeah. Yep. And Illinois basketball, if you go per capita, I mean, Illinois always gets, what, 15 grand for a men's game, you know, for a men's
but
game.
But from like 100,000 to Penn State to 10,000 is probably the most drastic.
But I'm sure they'll be packed in there next week when Illinois goes there.
Do we give Turgeon enough credit, or does he need to... Does he need to go on a deep run to really get the credit that he's due? He always brings in talent.
That's he's only been to the second weekend once.
Is that it?
That's the problem, though, is that he brings in the talent and he's been to the second weekend once.
That's a good call. That kind
of
answered
my question.
I mean,
how did Mello Trimble never get past the round of 32 or whatever? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
But I think the circumstances also, he has a lot of his players, they don't stay 4 years because he brings in the talent, so the continuity isn't always there. They lost Bruno Fernando. Can you imagine that team if Fernando came back for his junior year? So I think this year, now that they're at the top of the league, they win the Big Ten, he deserves a lot of credit. He's taking heat earlier in the season. They were talking about his job.
What a tightrope you have to walk. I mean, just spotlight Turgeon there. He brings in guys that are NBA quality guys that leave early, yet because they leave early, they don't ever reach kind of a pinnacle that what they want to reach, if you will, at Maryland. But yet you can't sit there and say, well, I don't want to recruit Stick Smith because he's going to leave after a sophomore or junior year and go to the NBA.
Right.
I mean, it's like, well, hold on a second. So what do you do?
I mean, the only people who have that figured out are just like Cal and Calipari and, you know, Krzyzewski, who bring in five stars at such a ridiculous rate that it doesn't even matter that they leave every year.
And I know with Coach K, and he's seen some of this, it's a different level versus getting to the Final Four versus getting to the second weekend. But he's been to the Final Four once since 2011.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
I think a lot of people don't realize that or process that.
I mean, they lost to Mercer, was it?
Yeah.
When they had that really, really good team as
that's
a two-seed.
Right. Lehigh?
Or Lehigh, yeah. Someone else lost to Mercer.
Was that with the
maybe it was Mercer
Allen?
Too.
Maybe they lost twice to bad teams early.
I
don't know.
Isn't that amazing?
No, Mercer, 2014.
Okay. So since 2011.
They almost lost to Taco Fall and
that's right.
Dawkins last year, right?
So you're talking almost 10 years at Duke of bringing in whoever he wants to bring in, basically. And he's been to one Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Since 2011.
Did they win it that year?
They did.
They won it in 2015. Did they beat Wisconsin?
That may have been the team.
Yes, they beat Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then they beat Butler the year that Gordon Hayward's shot rimmed just off, but that was before. That was 2010.
When they won it against Wisconsin, they had Tyus Jones, Justice Winslow, Jahlil Okafor, Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen ended up sticking around, but all four of those were freshmen and three of them left.
Right.
That's the amazing thing.
The Turgeon thing is weird, though, because, like, if you look on Twitter, people hate him.
I know they do.
Like, anytime Maryland's even down it, I'm sure if you looked at Twitter replies when Illinois was up by 15 in either game, I mean, people are, fire him right now. I don't want to see his face again. There's a lot worse options than Mark Turgeon, who gives you 22 wins and a tournament appearance every single year.
Every year, right?
But I do understand, though, at a certain point, you kind of need to get the job done. But last year's game against LSU was ridiculously high level, and I know they didn't come out on top. But
this is probably a horrible analogy, but, you know, Lou Henson, when he was, you know, nearing the end, you know, Lou was a guy that would get Illinois to the NCAA tournament more times than not, and a lot of fans were so ready to move on. You know,
well, look
Lou.
At it. We got it right here. Every year is like 19-13, 19-13. It was consistent, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So from let me just leave that there. Starting in 1983 until 1996, here's what he did. 21. These are the wins for Lou Henson. 21, 26, 26, 22, 23, 23, 31 in 89, 21, 21, 13. That's when the whole Iowa deal hit. 19, 17, 19, 18. So granted, he wasn't getting over 20 wins for five straight years. And I'm not saying that Illinois fans weren't in the wrong by saying, all right, it's time, Lou. You know, it's time to move on. I don't know. But certainly when you're getting, and I can remember years they'd get to the NCAA tournament, they'd lose to Georgetown in the first round. But the thing was, every year you just knew they were going to be in the tournament. Now we've gone a decade where it's like, are we even a tournament team?
Well, you're taking it for granted, you know, back then.
You did. You absolutely did. All right, we got to catch a break. You guys talked about it yesterday. I didn't get a chance to hear you. Io, great news on the no structural damage I know Jeremy had
Jeff Schroeder
on this morning.
He said worst case is a month, best case is two games, okay, as in this road trip.
Okay.
In his opinion.
So Iowa will probably not play at all against Rutgers and Penn State.
Then you get Northwestern and Nebraska, who are two sub-100 ranked KenPom teams.
So you almost want to take the chance.
Followed by Indiana, right?
Correct. Yeah. I would shoot for Indiana.
Boom.
Personally.
Boom.
But I don't.
Let's hope you go 2-2 in this next stretch. And
we'll probably find out more tomorrow when Brad Underwood meets with the media.
Oh, that's true.
Whether it's a MCL sprain, is it a hyperextension?
Yeah, what exactly? We still don't know what the injury is.
Of the injury. Yeah.
And it's got to be something like that, doesn't it? The way that knee.
It was ugly still.
It was like very ugly.
It buckled and got caught up under him. I would be shocked if he played at Rutgers or even Penn State.
It's good to be young. And truly, I mean, it's good to be young because if that's pickup basketball for a 40-year-old league and a guy does that, he's tearing everything in his knee. So it's good to be young, but also I think that's a gigantic break for Illinois. Even more so for Iowa,
yeah,
we know that.
Iowa too.
But me being just team here, I mean, it's a gigantic break for Illinois. Because all I thought about that night was not only the misery, and Trevor, I saw what you said. You came out of State Farm Center, and you just literally sat down.
Yeah, it was weird.
You just were like, I can't do this.
I didn't say a word for like an hour and a half
to
anybody.
Tough,
I just sat there with my mouth open, like, that was the worst 7 seconds of my sports life.
I mean, it was dejected loss, and then the reality of Iowa's done for the year is what you were thinking.
You could see it all over Kofi's face in the post game, and just the building in general was in a shock.
And then you just start thinking. I mean, my first thought was not them making the tournament. My first thought was, all right, so now we're a play-in game, and we're going to lose the first game to whoever because we don't have Iowa.
My thought was just that's the last time we'll ever see him
on
the court.
Well, true.
But,
luckily
not the case.
Exactly. So we're going to look on the other side. All right, when we return, Chris Widlick, sports anchor, CBS 4 in Indy. We're going to talk Indiana-Purdue with him. Tim Sinclair, he's going to do the PA for the All-Star Weekend. He's going to join us, the NBA All-Star Weekend. He's going to join us next hour, and we'll hear from the Houston Astros, who had a press conference today that was more than interesting. We'll do all that next. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Farmers are the backbone of our communities. At Prospect Bank, we cultivate relationships that help ensure our farmers have the tools they need for a bountiful harvest. I'm Matt Hoos, and as the Chief Agribusiness Officer at Prospect Bank, I'll put my years of experience to work for you and your operation. Get the conversation started by calling 217-896-2423. Opportunities are waiting for you. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Logic, an all-new kind of everyday community that makes sense for you. Drop in for the kids to have a safe childcare option to learn and play. As you stay focused nearby in the building with workspace and meeting areas to get the job done, you'll have the flexibility you need to thrive and prosper and keep your energy up with wholesome food options or get in a good workout in their fitness rooms, all under one roof. Logic, an inspiring community for work, play, food, and fun. 1807 South Neal, corner of Neal and St. Mary. Online at LODGIC.org.
Trent Meacham and Brett Anderson of Cozad Asset Management.
At Cozad, we have an experienced and dedicated team to help our clients achieve their financial goals. Here's one of our CPA and portfolio managers, Brett Anderson.
Thanks, Trent. It's an honor to sit alongside clients to establish a financial plan and guide them through their wealth management, tax, and estate planning needs. We'd love to sit down with you. Thanks, and go Illini.
Securities offered through M Holdings Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Cozad Asset Management, Inc. Cozad Asset Management is independently owned and operated.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center, outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
After 29 years at the U of I, the Illini shop on 6th Street is closing its doors for good. Total inventory liquidation now in effect. All items marked down at least 35%. T-shirts as low as 3 for $22. Long sleeve tees as low as 3 for $35. New markdowns daily with many items. items already reduced 50% or more. Top brands like Nike, Champion, Columbia, and more, all on closeout. Shop early for the best selection of remaining Illini merchandise. Everything must go. The Illini Shop, 707 South 6th Street in Campustown.
If you have kids or pets, sooner or later you'll need new carpet. And right now, the Home Depot has you covered with an unbeatable selection of carpet that walks the walk, in-store, or even easier, online. Durable and low maintenance, pet-proof, life-proof, and right now, installed for free. It's a good time to be a doer, thanks to free carpet installation at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. $599 minimum purchase of a dollar or more per square foot. Valid through May 6, U.S. only.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
I-L-L-I-N-I. Cheer on the Illini at Pia's Sports Bar and Grill. Pia serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger for only $8.95. Enjoy $3 22-ounce Light and Coors Light drafts every home and away Illini game. Watch the game at Pia's or ride the free shuttle to all home games. Plus, enter to win 100 level seats each game. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Talking with Ron Bailey, owner of the Blossom Basket Florist. Ron, what separates your flowers from some you might find at the grocery store?
Our flowers are usually about 3 days out of the field in South America. When we get them in with their cold storage all the way here, we guarantee the quality on them. They should last a long time. I have customers call me all the time and say that our flowers lasted 2 weeks. And we process them, put preservatives in the water. We have the highest quality flowers that you can find.
Please visit the Blossom Basket Florist online at blossombasket.com. Get the roof your home deserves. Roof Doctors. They have honest, reasonable rates. They give you competitive prices up front. No gimmicks or contractor pricing games. You can rely on Roof Doctors. No deposit required. No subcontractors. Over 30 years in business in the industry. Check out Roof Doctors at roofdoctorsco.com or call Tammy or Randy at 328-7529. Roof Doctors, 328-7529.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. Over 95% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2019 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
It's a sweetheart of a deal every year, and it's back. Say yes to a heart-shaped pizza this Valentine's Day at Rosati's. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and starting February 10th, our pizzas are going heart-shaped, but only for a limited time. Say I love you with a thin heart-shaped pizza with two toppings and a 2-liter for just $19.99. Call 328-2334 for your heart-shaped pizza for just $19.99. That's 328-2334.
ESPN Radio 93.5. We're efforting Chris Widlick, sports anchor, CBS 4 and Indy, no doubt putting on makeup as we speak because, you know, it's 5:30 over there. So he's getting ready probably for the 6 o'clock sportscast. So he's got to get his makeup. He's got to look good. So we'll have Chris hopefully on here in a second to talk Indiana-Purdue. Don't ask me why, but we started talking about this Miller dude that signed
Cardinals
with the
Cardinals.
Yeah!
We've asked him for all winter long.
Does that take him from fourth to third in the division?
Oh, my.
Brad Miller. And I said, isn't that the dude that played at Purdue?
Good call. He was at Purdue from 94 to 98, played for the Bulls.
Oh, that's right.
So the Cardinals have an infielder that's 7 foot tall and wears a headband.
And Trevor said he doesn't wear gloves. So I'm like, he plays the infield without a glove.
Yeah.
So that is a unique thing
really
for
tough.
St. Louis. Yeah.
Wonder who his best friend is. The Cardinals assigned him.
Hey, by the way, the Cardinals had a flash $6 flash sale on tickets on Monday. So I looked ahead. This is the hardest thing to do. You look ahead into the middle of summer, like 3 months from, well, more, yeah, no, like 3-4 months from now, and just randomly select a day. So I think I picked two dates and bought four tickets for $6 each, and I'm like, even if I don't use them, it's $30.
Yeah.
Perfect. I've wasted that before doing whatever. Cold beer, for sure.
You
I've
make
done
time
that
to go to favorite baseball
absolutely
park.
And that's one thing I used to do a lot, and then I got out of it, and probably the last 4 years, I haven't done a good job of getting down to games. And I thought to myself, why not just take a random Wednesday for a 12:45 game and take Andrew or whatever and go down to St. Louis and just, you know, leave early in the morning. I always lie. I love getting up early. Andrew hates it, but I love getting, like, I'm out the door at 7 for a 12:45 game, which, you know, you get down there at 9, and it's like, what are we doing now for 3.5 hours? But, you know, you just walk around St. Louis, grab yourself a brat, cold beer, sit down and watch the game. It's just a great way to relax.
Yeah.
Stress is out
you're
the
back
window.
At home for
yeah
even dinner, potentially.
Yeah. And I think maybe on one of those, I might just make a trip of it, maybe go down the night before to the night game, then spend the night, and then go to the game the next day as well, which should be kind of fun. So, hey, today, while we're efforting Chris Widlick, today I saw a video of Yadi Molina and Adam Wainwright, both dressed in their... Did you see those Cardinals red jerseys?
No.
Oh, my. They're sweet. So, but they were
the regular spring training ones? They're going to wear a different...
I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, please wear these during the year.
I've been waiting for red jerseys my entire life.
Isn't that funny? And the jersey that I wear, my Cardinal jersey that I wear to games, is red. It doesn't have a name on the back, and it's got the yellow bird beak. I think it's yellow. There was one year where they went yellow or white. I can't remember which. And I've got the one year where they either have a white beak or a yellow beak. But I love the look. They have the gray pants
yep
and a red uniform. And I'm not even a uniform guy. Like with Illinois, when they go to new uniforms, I'm like, I don't care. Just win games. But the Cardinals, this one looked pretty cool. Isn't that funny, though, Derek? How many years of your life? You're how old?
I'm 29.
So for 20 years of your life, since you were like 10, Adam Wainwright and Yadi yeah Molina have been on the Cardinals. Is that right?
Insane, yeah.
How many years has Adam Wainwright pitched for the Cardinals? And just check Yadi. Like, when was Yadi's first
like
year that he actually played? Was it like 90? When were you born?
I was born in 90.
So I think it was like 94.
Is that early? 2004.
Maybe. Oh, it's 2004. I'm sorry. I'm way out of bounds there. Yeah, because it's 2021. What am I thinking? He's not 80.
That's still going into his 16th year.
So you were 14 years old when Yadi started playing for the Cardinals, and now you're 29,
yeah,
and Yadi is still catching for the Cardinals. That is amazing. When you put it in that perspective, I mean, it's easy to just look at a guy and say, oh, yeah, he played 20 years. Like Jim Cott played like 27 years in Major League Baseball.
And for the same team, too.
But if you put it into your life, like that guy, like from when I started working until retirement, Jim Cott was pitching in baseball almost for some people. It's just amazing. But
when Yadi and Waino retire in 2 to 3 years, whatever it may be,
oh my,
I feel really old.
Oh. Hey, okay, full transparency right now. Full transparency. You can't hold back. Are you excited to have Yadi back catching for the Cardinals, and are you excited to have Adam Wainwright back pitching for the Cardinals? Or
I'm excited.
Do you feel almost like we're throwing a bone at two veterans that have been around so long and they deserve it?
I don't think you're throwing it at Waino. You need him.
Yeah.
He was darn good, especially at home last year. And you remember, it was a shame he didn't get a win in the CS, how well he pitched at Busch Stadium in that game. So I'm a little hesitant as far as trusting another full season out of Waino.
That's fair.
But I'm excited because when he was healthy last year, he was good. Yadi, when he came back from his injury, was better. He really struggled with the bat early on. And is he worth what he's making? Is he making 15 mil this year?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
No. But still, I can't help but smile. Like that picture you're saying of,
yep,
of Waino and Yadi, I'm thinking you just had a big smile on your face.
You did. Oh, I did. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're still at it. And you know, the intangibles, and I know like Cub fans hate this, even though you can give me a Cubs fan or give me a Cubs player in the past, and I will have told you what intangibles they brought to a team. But the intangibles that Yadi still brings, I think. And here's an example. If you're a kid at spring training and you're trying to make the Cardinals, and you all of a sudden, Skip comes up to you and says, hey, Derek, I'm giving you the ball Thursday, and I'm catching Yadi the first three innings. in your mind, you're like, thank you so much. Because you know that Yachty is going to give you the best chance to win in terms of calling a game.
Yep.
He's been around so long, he knows these players. And for a rookie or for somebody trying to make the team, those three innings may be the biggest three innings of their of their season, even before the season starts. So to know that you're not going to be throwing to Andrew Kinsner, and nothing against him, but you're throwing to Yachty. It's just those intangibles that I think when he's on the court, you'll say this about as a coach, sometimes there's a kid on my team that when he's on the court, it seems like everybody just calms down. Like everybody's like, all right, he's on the court. Everything's fine. And it's that intangible that you can't measure, but it's like, it's there. And I think Yachty gives that to the Cardinals pitchers and probably to everybody else when he's suited up and out there catching. I think a lot of the guys on that Cardinals team are like, okay, Yachty's in the game. Everything's good. We're going to win this game.
It'd be hard not to have confidence when he's behind the plate or even comes out to the mound to talk to you. And also you get nervous and you walk a batter. They're not going to run because you got Yachty back there.
It's a great call.
I think the same thing you could say for the Cubs, too, because the Cubs fans are like, oh, look at Piper and Lon going off on the Cardinals. But Contreras to be the guy that's there for 15 years. Oh, he's got a rocket arm, and that's something that they could say about him, too.
There's no doubt. And he'll be a guy that when he gets older, if the Cubs are lucky enough to have Contreras for this long, like the Cardinals have had Yachty since 2004, I think Chris Widlick was still doing TV and champagne then. Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Lon. That was my transition year. That's exactly right. I was.
Can you believe that?
I left in December of 2004.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. And Yachty Molina started for the Cardinals in 04.
Still doing it.
He's still pitching. I just told Derek Piper, we just figured out Piper was 14 when Yachty started playing. He's 29 and he's still playing. It's like, you got to be kidding
me. I was at that playoff game against Atlanta this past October, where he won the game with the hit in the extra innings to beat the Braves.
Unbelievable. Chris, full transparency.
They love him. They love him there, and why not? Right?
They do. Absolutely. And after I told Derek, I said, are the Cardinals throwing a bone to a veteran that deserves it, or do they really need him? I think they still need him.
They probably do. I mean, I think he's still the leader on that baseball team, don't you think? I mean,
yes.
The White Sox are excited to get Grandal. They think he is the key to get their pitching staff working. So there's no doubt the importance a good catcher has for a baseball team and a pitching staff. It's paramount. It's absolutely huge for a baseball team.
Neil Tay told me that when I was like 10 years old. He said, Lon, if you want to win in baseball, get up the middle defense led by the catcher, and you will have a chance to win every game. And he was right. I mean, and that was Dad.
He's right.
He was right. All right, Chris Widlick, full transparency. You're a little late getting on with us. Just putting on the makeup? Is that what was happening?
Doing some late editing. Yes, I didn't hear the phone ring. The makeup's coming on soon.
Sweet.
I need time.
Well, listen, we're going to make this. I mean, we'll go quick here because I know you've got stuff to do, and we appreciate your time always.
Right.
Chris Widlick, former Channel 3 sports director, now sports anchor at CBS4 in Indy. Follow him on Twitter at Chris_Widlick. All right, Indiana and Purdue, we can't figure them out. Indiana is a team that we thought would be a little bit better than what they are. Purdue's a team I didn't think would be this good, and now they're doing this. Let's start with Indiana. They play Iowa tonight at home. They've lost 4 in a row, 5-7 in the Big Ten. How disappointed are Indiana fans right now with what that team is doing this season?
Lon, I thought you were going to give me some answers here. I wish we had some answers. We thought things were going pretty well for them. They were heading in the right direction. The season was going fairly well. They had some big home victories. They should have beaten Maryland in Bloomington. They gave that one away. The Terps scored the last 7 points in that game. And since then, they haven't been able to find themselves again. But Lon, this is a team that they just don't have a leader right now.
Mm.
And I think that's critical. Archie Miller mentioned this yesterday. He goes, it's not too late. We need a guy to be vocal. I don't care if it's a young guy. I don't care if it's an old guy. When things aren't going well, he needs to be able to grab the rest of the guys and say, follow me. Let's do this. We've got it. We can take care of each other. We can win this game. They don't have anybody like that right now.
Yep.
Everybody is just, I don't know, too passive. He needs some more aggressive personalities. And that's really hurt this basketball team. Shooting has been an issue on and off. Their guards aren't scoring like they should. The front court's done pretty well. The defense tends to fall apart. There's just no identity with this Indiana basketball team, and And that's been the real struggle for them. And if they don't get it turned around, if they don't win tonight, this whole thing could go away. It could completely fall apart. So that's how important this game is with Iowa tonight. Because the Hoosiers are kind of walking that fine line right now, being in the NCAA tournament. And if they don't make it, that's what, 0-4
wow.
and 0-3 with Archie Miller. And that's a complete disaster. And fans are not happy about it, you can imagine.
Chris, I know Archie said on his radio show earlier this week, if you don't want to be a part of winning, you're not going to be a part of what we're doing. It sounds like, obviously, he's calling out the guys in his locker room. How much are fans putting the blame on Archie, though, as far as the guys he's recruited or just being able to change what he has and elevate it to another level like you're seeing here in Champaign with Brad Underwood?
Yeah, a lot of it. A lot of the blame is going to Archie. If he can't get the guys, he's recruited all these guys. He should know what these guys are made of and what they can and cannot do. And that has been the issue. This is his team. This is what he's put out on the floor right now. And a lot of the blame is going towards him, because if you can't get this thing turned around in 3-4 years, then maybe you're not the guy for the job. And fans are beginning to feel that. He's a tough guy to get on board with. He's not the warmest human being. He's not very easy for the fans to really grasp onto, and that's been difficult. So right out of the blocks, yeah, well, maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not the guy, and he hasn't really proven anything yet to the fan base for the Hoosiers. And what surprised me was the other day when they played Purdue, which is obviously a great rivalry, Bob Knight was expected to be there. The fans knew he was probably going to be there. They were honoring the 1980 team, the Hoosier team with Isaiah Thomas was there, Quinn Buckner, a lot of the great players. And it wasn't even sold out, guys. There were empty seats up in the balcony.
Really?
That never happened.
Wow.
That should never happen. That tells you exactly how the Hoosier Nation is feeling about this basketball team. They just can't get on board.
Chris, is there a realistic scenario? Obviously, if Indiana loses tonight, they're going to be on the wrong side of the bubble with work to do going forward. But if it goes off the rails down the stretch, is there a realistic scenario that Archie isn't there next year?
I don't think so. The issue also is the guy who hired him is retiring. So they're in the market for a new athletic director. So that certainly doesn't help him. I know he signed a fairly long-term deal, but they can always get out of that and get it bought out. So I don't see a major change, but if it completely goes off the rails, you never know. And again, athletic directors have their own list of guys that they like, that they get along with, and the Hoosiers are shopping for an AD. So you can't completely close the door to the Hoosiers making a change, but again, we'll see. It's a very important 2-3 week stretch here for Archie.
Chris Widlick, sports anchor, CBS 4 in Indy, one of my mentors. I'm going TV on you here, Chris. Has your news director asked you to do an economic impact on the Indiana basketball to the Bloomington area not selling out? Can you get on that?
You remember those days, don't you? Oh my God!
It's like, Lon, we're gonna send you to Austin to cover the team, but I need on Tuesday, I need an economic impact. And I'm like, what?
Not yet, fortunately, but we may be heading that direction.
Exactly. Oh, and by the way, you're shooting it yourself. It's like, great, yeah. I can handle
it. Oh, and
there's
that. You bet.
All right, let's switch to
Purdue. Taking the camera by yourself.
Exactly. You can do it, Lon. All right, let's switch to Purdue. Good luck figuring this team out. They're really good at home. I asked Derek and Trevor when we started the show, is Matt Painter the best coach of the Big Ten? I've had a couple of buddies text me already, say, Lon, you need to start drinking because you're way off. And obviously Tom Izzo's there. But where do you put Painter on that list? And how good is Purdue? Illinois beats them twice. Do we maybe over here think they're not that good because we've beaten them twice? I can't figure them out.
They're pretty good when they don't play Illinois this year. let's put it that way. Let's start with Matt Painter. Yes, he is among the probably the top three coaches in the conference. I really believe that. Look what he did with this team last year. They were, an amazing shot by Virginia from going to the Final Four.
Wow.
They probably should have made it there. This year, he lost the bulk of his scoring, especially in the backcourt with Edwards and Klein, and he hasn't been able to find the right guys back there. Now they're starting to come around. It's taken him a while. Stefanovic, Isaiah Thompson, I think both of those guys are pretty critical. They're going to get better and better, I believe. The front court is pretty solid. Trevion Williams is very good. Matt Harms has been in and out with injuries. That hasn't helped. But this is a guy, to me, Matt Painter, does more with less. I mean, these are not 4- and 5-star players.
Right.
Those are not the kind of guys that go to Purdue. Those aren't the kind of guys that Matt Painter really works well with. You know, it's always defense first at Purdue, and that's really worked well for them. I think he's gotten the most out of this team right now, and I believe they're headed in the right direction. I think they had won, what, 3 or 4 in a row before Penn State rolled in and made it almost every shot out there. That's a very good Penn State team, by the way. They really surprised me. They're very good. But I think Purdue's going to make the NCAA tournament. The schedule is in their favor here down the stretch. I love Matt Painter, and yes, I believe he is among the best in the Big Ten, if not the country. Honestly, this guy is completely underrated with what he can do and what he's been able to accomplish in all these years at Purdue following Gene Katie.
Chris, the Big Ten has insane depth this year. Looking at bracketology projections,
incredible.
They're probably going to get at least 10 teams in. I know that the counter argument, people who are Big Ten haters would say, well, there's a lot of good to pretty good teams and maybe not the upper echelon, the team that could go on the run to the Final Four. What do you make of the league in general, and how do you see them faring when they go up against some others in March?
Well, I think the depth of this conference is probably the best I've ever seen it. I think looking at how teams play at home is great proof of that. It's so difficult to win a Big Ten conference game on the road.
No doubt.
Even in Evanston or Lincoln, with probably the two teams that have struggled the most in the conference. But look at what Rutgers has been able to do. That's a quality team. What a turnaround that they've put together. And Penn State just seems to be getting better and better. But you mentioned maybe not a team that can make a deep run of the NCAA tournament. I believe that. I just don't know if there are elite teams in this conference this year. But looking around the country, are there that many elite teams in
True.
The nation?
That's a great point.
Right? There's 2 or 3. I think March Madness is going to be spectacular. I think every game is going to be a coin toss the way this year is going. There's no way there's an odds-on favorite to make it to the Final Four. Can you say San Diego State's going to make it? Can you say Gonzaga is good enough to make it to the Final Four? Baylor, maybe, but there's doubts there, too, because they just don't have that experience. I think this March Madness is going to be fantastic. As far as the Big Ten is concerned, I think it deserves 10 or 11 teams.
Yep.
I think the quality is that good from top to bottom, and I've never seen it this great, and it's really made for a fantastic season.
I'm putting my mom, by the way, the number one seed in the bracket, NCAA bracket. This is the year Jan Tay comes through and wins it all, I think. She'll have just crazy reasons why she picked, you know, this team to go all the way to the final, you know, and all of a sudden Colgate is in the Final Four and Jan has
there
them.
There you go.
Mom, good job. Here's your money.
Just follow her bracket.
Exactly.
You never know, yeah?
Chris, before we let you go, I want to get an NFL question in there. Jacoby Brissett, when you look at his stats, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions last year. Colts didn't make the playoffs. You hear them attach the rumors, Tom Brady, if he is going to leave, maybe that's potential. Phillip Rivers as well.
Yeah.
He's not going to be in L.A. anymore. How much buzz is there about maybe the Colts making a change at quarterback, and what do you kind of make of all that?
That's all the talk since the season ended. Who's going to be the Colts quarterback? For sure. It's been great conjecture. It's been a lot of fun to talk about. Chris Ballard, the GM, a couple days after the season ended, said the jury is still out on Jacoby Brissett. There's your answer right there. Whether they go to the free agent route or through the draft is the big question. Ballard likes to build through the draft. But if you can – it's not going to happen. Brady's not coming here. But I can see them – potentially trading for a Derek Carr, because the Raiders are up in the air with Gruden, and what are they going to do in Vegas? I think Derek Carr would fit perfectly here. Phillip Rivers, I think, would also be a pretty decent fit, just because Frank Reich and his coordinator, Nick Sirianni, were with Rivers in San Diego for 2 or 3 years running that offense. and they were clicking on all cylinders at that point. They know each other so well. They run the same kind of offense. It would be a good fit. They've got one of the best offensive lines in football, good running back. They probably need a good wide receiver and another tight end to replace Ebron. So I can see Rivers doing it for a couple years. Maybe they draft a quarterback this year, and Rivers is the stopgap right now. But by no means have they given up on Jacoby Brissett. I think a lot of fans have. The issue with Brissett is he just doesn't have that aggression. He doesn't have that. He doesn't want to unleash. He's afraid to make a mistake, and that's really, really cost him the second half of the season. He just, I don't know what it is, but he doesn't have that it factor, I don't think, to be an elite quarterback in the NFL. And that, of course, we all know that makes all the difference in the world. So the talk has been from day one since the season ended, what are the Colts going to do at QB? And we just don't know yet, but it's been a lot of fun to talk about it. I'd love to see a veteran in here, and I'd love to see them draft one as well. So I think that would solve a couple of problems right there.
Chris Whitlock, I promise this year not to have a bad fantasy football day and rip on the AFC South in a tweet.
Wait a minute. The AFC South, right?
Yeah, I just...
Two teams in the final four there.
I'm like, the AFC South's got to be the worst division every year, and you're like, what? I was like, I'm having a bad day.
You can never say that again for what happened this past year with Tennessee and Houston. You cannot.
I learned my Twitter lesson. I learned it well. Chris Whitlock, it is always great to hear your voice. I truly mean it. You're a mentor to me, and it's wonderful that you're still in the business, and it's great, even better, that you come on with our show or on the show, and we really appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much, Chris.
I am humbled, Lon. Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Okay, buddy. Have a great show, man.
Thanks.
Chris Whitlock on his way to put makeup on, and he hung up quick. He's got to really get that hang up or that hang up, that makeup on, you know, that Lancome base that I used to wear. Yeah, I used to wear the Lancome. You know, I had to go to the ladies in the mall and have them try to figure out what shade worked best. And I'm like, yeah, I think Lancome's the spot. They're like, oh yeah, let's go with it. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm feeling giving today, Derek. So right now, if you're the 10th texter to text in Rosati's, Rosatis, you know that. Text in Rosati's to 359-2255. If you are the 10th texter, you will win a Rosati's Thin heart-shaped pizza and a 2-liter. Perfect. Man, for Valentine's Day.
On love.
Friday, baby. Friday is Valentine's. That's tomorrow. Every guy's like, oh, crap. That's right, Lon. So, 10th texter, Rosati's right now.
The catch, of course, is that you have to be able to cash this in tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Because they only are doing the heart-shaped pizzas for Valentine's.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, they're not going to make you a special one next week.
So, if you win, you got to pick it up tomorrow and use it by the end of the day tomorrow.
Oh, woe is me. You know, we're giving somebody a free pizza.
You only have 24 hours to go get free food is what I'm telling you.
And free pop. I'm glad you told me that, though. Thank you, Trevor. All right, 10th texter. We'll tell you who the winner is. Talk Astros next hour. Also visit with Tim Sinclair. He's the PA guy for the NBA All-Star Weekend. We'll do it all next hour. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.